Hello, welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I'm Renee Allen, in case you need my whole name, and I'm the host of this podcast. I thought it might be nice to do a series of podcasts, of episodes, with a similar theme, and, you know, a five-part series. It's so very organized of me. I'm not much of a planner. Well, I am. Like, I like to plan trips. I like to plan for holidays. I like to plan out what I'm going to be doing, you know, what I'm committing to, stuff like that. But when it comes to a creative process, I feel kind of locked in if I plan something. So at least that's what I've learned about myself with teaching yoga. I do a lot better if I go in with a general idea and figure it out as I go. And it's worked better for me than coming in with a strict idea. My brain doesn't work well that way. I end up, I don't know, just feeling like maybe it's not the best idea. I second guess myself and I change my mind. So I like to have some spontaneity. But with this, there's some things that I'd love to share with you. And I thought, why not do it in a little series that goes together? So if you want to listen to them all at once, you can learn as they go. Just like last week, I talked about outer distractions one day and inner distractions the next. And that wasn't really a series, but they were very closely related. And this is similar, but it's in five parts instead of two. So this is about mindfulness of what's going on in our minds as far as figuring out ourselves and kind of the self-talk that you give yourself. Give yourself self-talk. The messages that you give to yourself. If you're supportive, if you're not, that kind of thing. And I've thought about this in a lot of ways to present it to you, but then I realized what I teach, the way I teach yoga, and I didn't realize this until I was teaching for a while, but a friend of mine who's big into fitness, and she added yoga kind of as a recovery for her fitness. She took my more gentle yoga classes, the ones that were more stretchy and more for total relaxation and that sort of thing. But she told me that instead of teaching someone, instead of instructing someone, which is what a lot of people do when they teach at a gym, they actually call them instructors. They don't call them teachers. They call them a group fit or group fitness instructor, because they're standing up and they're saying, this is what you need to do, and you follow them. And they use words too, and they also use descriptions. You know, they might be saying, and now we're doing bicep curls, but they also might say, keep your elbows in, or, you know, that sort of thing. They might give more instruction, especially if they look at someone and see that their form isn't very good or it needs help or something, or they're not really understanding what to do. And with yoga, there's all kinds of teachers, but my friend told me what I did was unique because I was teaching them how to do yoga, not how to do a pose, and not how to do yoga as far as the philosophy, but more, in a way, it was because of the empathy I have, I think, that I know that some people go into classes and feel like they're not doing very well, or feel pressured to do a certain stretch or certain pose in a certain way that doesn't work for their bodies. So I wasn't just watching out for them in my class. I was watching out for them in future classes with other teachers, or even if they just did it on their own or with a video or something. Because there's a lot of things that if you don't understand, you could hurt yourself. And I didn't want anybody to get hurt, or I didn't want anybody to walk out more stressed than they walked in. And that's happened to me. So a lot of it was just going off of my own experience of feeling the pressure to put my foot in this certain position. And then I'd go home and my knee would hurt for 3 weeks because even though it didn't feel right for me to have my foot facing the front of the mat, the teacher came over and said, you need to do this. And I thought, well, you know, and I felt that pressure. So weaving into my teaching is a lot of telling people whatever conversation may be going on in their mind about what they can do or what they can't do or how they can feel good about themselves. So it's all that self-talk. And it's really what we do to measure whether something's safe, comfortable, unsafe, right, not right. That's what we do in life. But when we go into class, you know, as I get older, I'll go into a kickboxing class or something and feel like, oh, I need to kick like she's kicking or something. And I'll feel a little signal like, oh, that doesn't feel really great in your hip. Maybe you should change this. Maybe you should do that. But I'll think, oh, no, you should do that. And I'm not blaming it on the teacher at all. I'm blaming it on myself for not listening or not supporting myself or not trusting myself. So back to this mindfulness, what I'm going to pattern these episodes on is how I approach yoga or how I teach people to do yoga. And I actually made a handout, you know, on a website. It's not more of a handout, it's a page, or you can print it out, but it's basically a page that are 5 steps to doing yoga if you've got a scattered mind. And so that's the thing, is a lot of people can't go into a yoga class because their mind's so busy they can't relax. But they also just have all these conversations going on in their mind because what they are doing in their body isn't working for their bodies. And so basically, this is based on that framework because that's how I learned to work with the thoughts that are in my mind. And I'm going to share them with you. This doesn't have to have anything to do with yoga for you, but it's just about whatever you do in your life, whatever you're doing each day. You could apply it to pretty much anything, decisions you're making or how you feel about yourself. So the first thing, and that's today's, is let go of your expectations. Let go of your expectations. And when you have ADHD, when you're younger, you may not have any expectations because you're just living. You're just in your world of how you see life and how you do life. And you're getting feedback from people, your mom, your dad, whoever's in your home, grandparents, if you live near them, friends, neighbors, people at school, friends in the neighborhood, whoever that is. You're getting feedback from them or information from them about yourself, but just within yourself, you probably don't have an expectation of how it needs to be. You're just doing it. Like when you're a baby, you're walking. You're not thinking, I'm not walking right. You're just walking. So in life, at some point, we start to see, and related to ADHD, we might see I talk more than other people. If you talk more than other people, that is very common with ADHD. Not everyone does. Some people are more introverted or not as expressive, but a lot of people with ADHD love to express themselves, love to share, love to talk. And because of all the ideas we have in our minds and all the connections that just keep coming, we're fascinated by the topics we're talking about, whether it's ourselves, how we see things, information, what we've learned. We're fascinated by that. So we find it easy to talk because the ideas are there. They just keep coming and we keep thinking of more. And oh, this reminds me of this and that reminds me of that. And that's how we talk. So when we are younger, we just do it. And we might go to school and have a teacher say, raise your hand. Don't just talk when you feel like talking. Raise your hand or put down your hand. You can't have your hand up all the time. You've already answered for me, you know. So no, sit back down in your chair. Don't come up here and try to do this with me. We're all sitting down now. So we may have tendencies because we don't know what the expectation is. And even after we learn what the expectation is of other people, we still have our own ways of doing it. And just talking is just one of the examples. But as we get older, you could probably list a lot of things that you do that you start to realize not everyone does this. Yes, people lose their phone or they misplace their keys, but do they do it every day? Do they do it multiple times a day? Yes, people spill their drinks on themselves when they're drinking, but do they do it every day? Do they do it over and over? Maybe you don't. I'm just telling my own tale here. And my latest one that I've noticed, it seems like every few years, something else, either I didn't do it before or I just notice it more. But when I take supplements, medicine, I don't just do one at a time. My husband picks up one at a time, puts in his mouth. I put a whole bunch in my hand and then put the hand in my mouth. And just because my mindfulness, noticing everything at once, isn't always there, so many times one will slip between my fingers. And I have this little plastic basket just from the dollar store that I keep the bottles of supplements and things in, or medicine. And so it's like, oh, did it drop in there? Did it drop on the little shelf? Because the medicine is up over my computer, not computer, printer shelf. So is it there? Is it on the floor? And then I have these square baskets on the floor that keep the computer paper, the printing paper, and stuff like that. So then I'm thinking, where did it go? And I don't always care where it goes. There's usually another one in the bottle that I can get, but I do care to some point because I have grandchildren who come over. So I have to make sure it's not somewhere where they can get it unless I'm on my last one or something like that. But yeah, it's like, how does this happen all the time? So should I come up with a new system? Yeah, probably. But today it went to a whole new level that I only had one pill in my hand, and but I didn't use my fingers like my husband. Like he actually puts them in his fingers, puts them in his mouth. That's probably a wiser thing. I'm still using my left hand. Somewhere between my hand and my mouth, my cup was in my right hand, so I can't use the right hand to use my fingers. Anyway, somewhere between my hand and my mouth, it fell out of my hand and went missing. And I have a feeling that tonight when I teach yoga, it's going to come out on the mat, because I've done that before where I'm doing yoga and like a popcorn kernel will, I'll do a forward fold and it will come out of my top or something like that I've spilled on myself. But I looked all over. I looked on the floor. I looked on the chair. I looked in my clothes. I looked in the pockets, the inside pockets of my jacket. I did a forward fold. It's probably stuck to my skin somewhere. I don't think it reached the floor. But I've noticed at some point in my life that not everyone's doing this. Not everyone spills their drink on them when they drink. And yes, I have other methods like, a straw or the cups that have the smaller hole, but I'm not always drinking out of that. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle. But I've learned to not beat myself up about it. So that's letting go of your expectations, that you're not putting pressure on yourself to do whatever it is in a certain way. And in life, in society, that certain way is usually defined, right? Most people don't spill their drinks. I don't know if I mentioned it here before, but I remember one time I was driving in my car and this was a cup. And now they have such large openings in the cups that you're more likely to spill. I've learned if you've got a wider opening. But this was just a clean canteen, those narrow metal water bottles. And I had water in it. And it's just a matter of lifting it up too fast. I understand the reason for spilling on myself, but thankfully it was water. But anyway, I went to drink it, and I actually was drinking it, but I was at a stoplight and it just went all over my shirt. And I was still at the stoplight, so I had a little time. I turned and looked at the man in the car right next to me to see if he was watching, and he was, and he kind of laughed, and I kind of laughed back. But I didn't put pressure on myself to be somebody who never spilled on myself. I understand if I'm ever in a fancy place, maybe that could be seen as a problem. I do love Jane Austen movies and stuff like that. That would be a problem in some of those scenes. But whatever it is that you do in your certain way, in your way that may be related to ADHD, or maybe it's not related to ADHD. We also have character traits that aren't, right? But there are some that it's really helpful to find out you have ADHD and to learn more about, because if you bump into furniture all the time, you bump into corners, you trip, you just aren't mindful of where your body is at all times, it could get frustrating, getting bruises on your legs, and it's summer and you want to wear a dress or shorts or something and you've got a stupid bruise on your leg. I've learned to use makeup a little bit for that, but other times I've learned not to care about it. And I've learned that if you ice it faster, it helps. But a lot of times you don't even know that you've gotten that bruise until the bruise shows up. So don't put pressure on yourself, or don't be down on yourself. Don't tell yourself, I'm not a great person. I'm not worth as much as every single other person who never spills on themselves, who never trips, who knows how to be in a conversation and maybe not talk more than most. Don't expect something of yourself that isn't your tendency. Yes, you can work with your tendencies to some degree. If I really focused on not spilling and set myself up for success, I could probably do it. But I'm not gonna get super discouraged if I can't do that. And it's that idea that our happiness in life comes from what we get attached to, what we can let go of. And if we have something that we really, really think needs to happen, that's fabulous if it's hap if it happens. It's so great. And it's so exciting. We're watching the Olympics right now. It is so exciting for those people who win the medals. Some of them are disappointed with the bronze, but after watching track and field, I don't think any of them are disappointed with the bronze. They are all doing, they're all so fabulous. I'm sure they're happy to medal. They're happy to be at the Olympics, but obviously when they win that gold, they are so excited. And so yeah, when we shoot for the moon and we reach it, that's super exciting. So we can have a goal, we can have a hope, we can have an expectation. Noah Lyles just won the 100 meter. I just watched that today. I missed it actually on Sunday. Got distracted. We had a hurricane here. I watched him in the semifinals and I missed it. And so I found it and watched the whole thing today from the second they all walked into the Coliseum to the end of the show. And it was fabulous. And I haven't gone and watched clips about him, but you can see he had a mindset. He was telling himself, I am winning this thing. But obviously he didn't know. He didn't know because, well, I'm not going to give spoiler. I already gave a spoiler, but I won't give a spoiler if you haven't seen it, because it was even greater than I thought, the win. But he had an expectation, and that mindset did help him just do that last plow to make it happen. He wouldn't have been able to do it if he hadn't trained, for sure. But that mindset in his mind, he had an expectation. But if he hadn't a one, he would have had to let go of it to find happiness, right? If his expectation was, I have to win this today, and he didn't, if he thought life isn't great anymore because I didn't win it, then he's going to go through life not having a good time. And so that's where you let go of your expectations, is when things don't go the way you hoped or the way you wish it could, or even they don't even happen in a way that's capable for you, then you're going to be a lot happier to just let go of that expectation. And recognizing when you have ADHD that there are some limits, and by other people, they could be seen as lazy or scatterbrained or whatever. There could be negative connotations to what you're doing, what your output is, what your end result is. But there are times when it just doesn't work out because the challenges of ADHD are real. And even though I have found so many tools and so many methods and little hacks or whatever they are that help me, I would say once a week, and maybe more depending on the week, I still hit something. Like yesterday, was it yesterday? No, Sunday. It was the overwhelm. And I think things were chaotic that day because we were being told here in Florida, you know, a hurricane's coming, hurricane's coming. And it was making my mind more chaotic. And in a way, I had a great motivation to get something done because I'd started cleaning up my closet a couple weeks before and then got to that last part. And that's always the hardest part when you've done, made everything pretty on the shelves, but you've still got a bunch of clutter that you haven't decided to get rid of, put somewhere else. I'd done it for a ton of stuff. I'd filled up bags and bags of stuff and put a lot of things. You know, if there was a little video of me walking through my house, I probably did it thousands of times from room to room to room. Oh, I'll put this in this drawer. You know, I did a lot of work. But if you were to look at my closet at the end of it and how it looked for the last 2 weeks, it might have looked like, why couldn't she get that done? Because at some point that took more brain power and I had to get myself in a different place to do that. I had to set myself up in a different way to figure out what to do with that. And so I found myself kind of in a, maybe like a fog for a couple hours of anxiousness of sitting on my bed and watching the news about the hurricane and texting people and looking on the internet just mindlessly, and kept thinking the reason I had to clean up my closet wasn't because it was bugging me, although it kind of was. You know, you always see the things that you need to get done. It kind of was bugging me, but we had a tornado warning on Sunday and on Monday. And I'm from California. We're not used to tornadoes or hurricanes. We're used to earthquakes, floods, and fires. Although I've never had a flood, but I've seen them happen in different places near where I've lived or heard about them. Anyway, earthquakes and fires are more the things, and mudslides on roads, things like that. But back to the closet is our only experience with tornadoes so far. And I didn't know to Google for when was the last tornado when we were moving to Florida. I Googled for when was the last hurricane and it said 100 years. Well, last year, same path as 100 years ago. This year, same path as 100 years ago. So maybe we're not the lucky charm that came to Florida. But anyway, we're okay. We're fine. The people on the coast near us, we're not doing as well. But my husband went and did cleanup. I know this is a total ADHD tangent. I do have self-awareness, but just thought I'd share. He did hurricane cleanup last year and went to the coastal towns. I actually had a trip planned to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday with my brothers, so I wasn't here. But he went and helped with that. And I asked him, because he told me this time, it's the same towns were hit as last year. And I said, did you talk to the people? Why did they choose to still live there and rebuild when this is a possibility or when this happens? And he said, they say it's paradise because they live right on the Gulf Coast. They can just put their boat on the water. Hardly anyone lives there. They're just little towns that nobody wants to live in. And there's no traffic. They've got a couple stores. He said they love it. And I thought, oh, okay. So anyway, their expectation, they let go of their expectation that there would be no hurricanes. Their expectation is that they can just keep living there and they'll just, you know, go somewhere else for safety when it, you know, they get plenty of warning and then come back and deal with the ramifications. But back to the tornado warning. So we had one last year, and we learned that you get a little beep on your phone that says tornado watch. And that just means just be watchful for this time to that time. It might be 4 hours, it might be 6 hours. All I knew about tornadoes before this was from The Wizard of Oz. But you get a little tornado watch on your phone, and if that time ends and you don't hear anything else, you're fine. if it changes to tornado warning, then that means it can come closer to you, because the tornado watch could be, hundreds of miles wider, or, whatever, and it ends up going somewhere else. So it's not even close to you. But last year, when it switched to tornado warning, I had looked into it before. Well, I should have before when I was on a tornado watch before. But my daughter, who lives an hour south of hers here, hers changed to a tornado warning before ours did, several months before. And she showed us pictures of a coworker of her husband's, their house, and stuff like that. So I said, "Where'd you guys go? What'd you guys do?" And it says basement, but they don't have, at least around where we are, it's too wet. They don't have basements or a bathtub. Bathtub's too small. Inner room without windows or outer walls. Well, our biggest inner room is either a toy closet, a little other game closet, or our walk-in closet. So last time we got in our walk-in closet when it switched to tornado warning, it was probably an hour and a half off of memory. I can't remember. But we went inside and three of our grandchildren were here, and my husband and I, and one of my adult sons, and we just went inside and entertained them, like my socks became a ball, throw the ball, and I happened to have a snack. My son had a snack in his pocket, and we just tried to keep him from trying to leave because they were going a little crazy. They wanted to go out and play with toys and stuff. And what I realized when we were in there, because there were three adults and three little kids, and all three of us at some point, the adults were laying on the floor because there wasn't anywhere to sit or anything. We just kept kind of getting lower and lower. We had grabbed a few pillows on the way in. And I thought, it's a good thing my closet's clean, because it had been cluttered for about a month, where I had gone on a trip and did a lot of laundry before my trip, but didn't put all the laundry away. And then when I got back, I would just keep piling, things that I didn't want to put away that weren't dirty on top of that. Anyway, for probably a month, that closet was not clean on my side of the closet. My husband's side was fine. But I had just spent a whole day or two just not decluttering the closet, but just putting clothes away and managing the laundry and stuff. So the day of the tornado watch, and then it turned to a tornado warning, I was really glad it was clean. So Sunday, here we are at a t tornado watch, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what great motivation to go in there and finish my closet. And then I sat kind of frozen on my computer and on my phone and looking at the news of what's happening and when. And I kept making reports to friends or relatives. Oh, so this about the hurricane or that. And I am so bad at weather reporting. Because we're on the west side of the, and it was, we were actually on the east. So I kept correcting. I was getting everything wrong in my head. And it was just a sense of chaos for sure. But I couldn't get myself to get in there and get it done. And I finally did what is the easiest thing for me. Once I, maybe eat a little something, drink some water or something, when I really want to set my mind to doing something, I put in some earbuds, I put on a show, a podcast, and I just shut out the rest of the world, and I was able to get it done. So I got it done. But I was a little frustrated from the for those couple of hours, because I thought, I know how to get myself to do things. I just hosted a 5-day focus challenge and did really well and helped other people. And I can't get myself to go in there and do that, So we all have our dips in abilities. And what was funny is once I started doing that, there's always a system, right, in our brains of, I can do this if I just had a box to put this in or whatever. Well, I went into my bathroom to see if I had a little container in one of the drawers, because I thought, I don't even know if I need this in there. Here, I spent the next, I think, 2 hours in the bathroom reorganizing all of the drawers in there. And my husband came in there, what are you doing? Because I'd made a bigger mess, and the whole, we have a pretty big bathroom counter. It was just full of makeup. I'm throwing stuff away. I'm cleaning it off. I'm getting into, everything, throwing away old medication, all kinds of stuff. But once I start organizing, it's that hyper focus thing for sure, but I don't want to do it just a little bit if I want to do it as much as possible. I don't even know if it is possible to have everything organized. Maybe it is for you, but don't put pressure on yourself or don't feel bad about yourself if you can't be 100% all the time or like others or what you wish you could be doing when you want to do it. And eventually you maybe be able to get over that hurdle. And I do have my little tools like the earbuds. I knew about them during that 2 hours when I couldn't get myself to move, but I think I just had to, let myself go through that and then do what worked and go for it. And then of course I'm cleaning till midnight because I can't stop. But just giving yourself that support, because even though we know we're supposed to have positive self-talk, we have opportunities to practice that. And that's what yoga, they call it a practice, because you're spending time during that hour or half hour practicing your mindset. Even though you feel like, oh, I'm practicing this yoga pose, you're also practicing your mindset. And so even though you may have read a book or listened to an audiobook or listened to this podcast and you've learned multiple times from multiple sources, and even know for yourself that you should give yourself a pass, you should not get discouraged with yourself, not think, why can't I be like this? And just use that opportunity to work through it, to get to that point of saying, okay, how can I turn this around? How can I turn this around? And at some point, maybe that day or maybe the next morning, you're in a place where you can turn it around. And I find in a yoga class, the time, at least for me, that I get distracted in my mind is when I'm doing a balance pose, because the expectation, so you're supposed to let go of your expectations, right? But your expectation in a balance pose is to be able to stand on one foot and do whatever you're supposed to do without that other foot coming back down. So whether it's a tree pose, one foot on the inside of the leg, knee out to the side, arms up higher, whatever. Even people in my classes who use the wall every time, they've got access to the wall, their hands at that wall. I can still hear them say after class, my balance is so bad, or I need to work on my balance. I didn't realize it was that bad. I can see the looks on their faces. And so I try to do what I can to help them support themselves and recognize the thoughts that are going on in their heads. So while they're doing it, instead of thinking, why can't I stand on this foot without wobbling? Why does my foot keep blowing? Or why do I have to hold on to the wall for dear life? That they're thinking of other things like, what can I do to help with this? Or what am I noticing in myself? Oh, my outer leg muscles are stronger than the inner leg muscles, and that's why my foot can't be down flat. Or whatever it is, they're observing and they're noticing more than they're judging, and more that they're than they're criticizing themselves. And so if you let go of your expectation and just view what's happening with some curiosity, and yeah, if you get really good at something, it is discouraging. And that's probably the Olympic athlete when they are that swimmer that's just happy to have qualified, and they don't think they'll probably get a medal because their time isn't even close to the others. Then they're just happy to be there. But if there's somebody who's one world champion, they know they have what is possible, what it takes to win that gold medal. And if they don't medal at all, they're gonna feel like, oh, I can't believe I fell off the beam or whatever it is. The gymnasts, they're amazingly strong to wobble on the beam like they do the balance beam and stay on. But yeah, so if we start to do better at some things and have more awareness or more focus or have learned tools to get past the overwhelm, or you haven't tripped in so long and you're getting so much better since the last time you broke your foot, and then you trip again, it can be discouraging because We had this hope that it wouldn't happen again, and it may happen again, but hopefully not. Or you have this hope that you could do much better because you were doing better. But letting go of that expectation to always be able to do X, Y, or Z will help if you aren't able to do that, because then you're just observing, oh, this is a time where it's harder. I wonder why it's harder. Like when I got back from my trip a few weeks ago, I don't know if you heard of that episode. I'm sure it was chaotic. I was having a hard time that week getting myself to have the same momentum that I had before I left on what I was doing with my podcast, my website, my challenge. I had planned all of that. I had this momentum. It was like this train was going, and I got back and I thought I was just going to hop back on the track and keep going with it. And none of that could happen in my brain. I was just like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And I did observe it. I did look at it and think, what's going on? And I kept trying to just get myself there. Just get myself on that train, and it wasn't happening. And the more I realized all these other things are distracting you because things that you haven't done since you've been gone need to be done first. And I really had to give myself permission to do that first. And then I was in such a better mindset to be able to do the things I'd been doing before. But being able to notice, being able to do it without a judgment, and being able to support yourself and say, you're doing great. You're doing fantastic. And laughing if you spill on yourself, that is okay. That is you. Maybe none of you spill on yourself. Let me know if you do. It'll make me feel a lot better. Feel free to email me if you want. There is a contact form on my website, but it just goes to my email. But you're welcome to email me and I'll email you back. Unless someday I have more emails than I can possibly look at, but I doubt that's going to happen. So, but feel free to get in touch with me. Let me know how ADHD affects you if you go through ups and downs, if you just feel like you're down and you are thinking, I need a lifeline. I need a little help with this, because sometimes that happens. And especially if you're new to understanding how it affects you, even if you were diagnosed when you were younger, there's not a lot of information given out. You really have to seek it. And I don't know, because I wasn't looking into it 10 years ago, but maybe there wasn't as much information available then either. But having an understanding of what we're working with to begin with doesn't mean we can't set goals and we can't improve. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we can accomplish great things. And I have that great desire for you to get to a point, and maybe you're already there, maybe you're 5 steps ahead of me, but to get to a point where you can set a goal and you can improve and you can do great things, but you still have your same brain. So every once in a while, you'll find that you may not have the same momentum with it, or you may need to do something else for a little bit of time that your body can't do. Body, mind, the whole bit can't always be at a certain level, but it can at certain times. And that's what you learn about yourself. What do I need to do to give my ADHD brain, my body, my ways, the way that I experience life, the greatest possibility of accomplishing what I want in life? And that might just be having the kind of day that you want. And of course, things come up during the day, and sometimes it changes, and we do have to go with the flow. But it doesn't mean that we can't work toward things that we can't improve. And we're working with a knowledge of our limitations, but also our limitations. Not just one limitation, but we're also working with the knowledge that we can push past barriers, that we can accomplish great things, and we have strengths that some people just don't have, or characteristics that some people may never have, that may enable you to do something that somebody else may never be able to do. You have gifts. And so if you look at the gifts and find goals that align with your gifts, that's where your joy will be, right? That's where your joy will be, besides, friends, family, and all that. More than anything in this message, this episode of learning more about ourselves, the mindfulness, what it's like to be us. We're giving ourselves messages all the time, and knowing that you are who you are, you're not anyone else, and what you're able to do is wonderful. What you may not be able to do is okay, and it could change, but if it doesn't, that's okay too. You can work with what is, and it may change, and if it doesn't, you've done your best. It's the best you can do. That's one of my favorite things to have learned as I get older, is I did the best I could. And sometimes maybe I didn't do the best I could, but that's okay too. Speaking of which, not doing your best, I don't know if I made it clear that the reason I wanted to clean out my closet on Sunday, because I went around a whole loop of telling you about the previous tornado, was because we are on tornado watch on Sunday. And if we needed to go in the closet, we'd have more room. So I worked on my closet on Sunday. But as I said, I did a lot on my bathroom drawers, which I did not complete until Monday. And I finished the bathroom drawers on Monday and finished my closet yesterday. Was Monday. Today's Tuesday in the real world. This probably won't be released on a Tuesday. But yeah, I came full circle with my story, and it did take me a few days to come full circle with that organization. But sometimes we're doing great, other times we aren't. That's just fine. Even Celine Dion, and I wasn't, I say wasn't because she hasn't, been performing as much lately. I am not as big of a Celine Dion fan as my friend Cheryl is. She's been to multiple concerts, she knows all of her songs. I mostly knew the Titanic song and a few others. But I saw Celine Dion once on The Voice, and she was training someone. She just came in as a guest artist. And she told the person she was working with that her manager, who I believe was her husband, said, "Celine, you don't have to sing perfect all the time. You just sing perfect when it's time." And she was super dramatic about it. But we're not going to be able to be our best all the time. We're not going to be able to be at the momentum or the pace or the level of functionality all the time. But hopefully we can find times when it's time. And maybe when it's time will change from time to time. But we will be able to have times when we can achieve, when we can do great things. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out how to make that happen when the executive dysfunction seems to be in the way. It's blocking the road. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Be in touch if you can. Say hello on my website. I don't really want to give my email address out on a podcast, but if you contact me on my website, I'll write you back. Then you'll have my email address. But let me know what you think of the episodes, if there's certain topics that you enjoy more than others. If you want to jump into my 5-day focus challenge, it's free. If you sign up now, it'll automatically enter you in to begin next Monday, but you will get a little email from me before that. And that's also on the first page of my website. And that's renee-allen.com. And thanks so much for being here. I will be back again with the second part of this 5-part series about mindfulness. Do you want a hint? The name of this one is It's Fine If You Do Something Different, which probably sounds similar to let go of your expectations. But of course, there's always more to say about each thing, right? So that'll be my next one. Thanks for being here. Bye.
shadow. Frozen dreams are left for tomorrow. Without a call. No time for a pause.